Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of We're Getting a Dog.
Hello, everybody.
That's very deep voiced of you there, Dylan.
How I always talk. Everybody remembers my smooth voice.
Okay, so my name's Wesley, and
I'm Dylan.
That's not how he usually speaks, but we're back.
Come
this
on,
week.
Let me get a cool voice.
Okay, fine. You can use your radio voice. We
just,
are back
just for the intro
this week.
Hi, everybody.
How is everyone doing, Dylan? How are you doing?
I'm all right. Pretty, I don't know, basic week.
Yeah.
Made some good meatloaf.
It was really good meatloaf. I had the rest of it today with mashed potatoes, and it was very good.
How's your week?
About to start. So we're recording today, and I was off, and then I start my
week. How was the previous week?
Oh, it was fine.
Since we recorded.
It was fine. Crazy fine.
Except for the meatloaf, I guess.
The meatloaf was amazing. Yes, the meatloaf was the highlight.
Awesome.
So, all right, so we're going to
talk. That's our exciting life.
That's our exciting life. And then we're back
if
today.
If you had the meatloaf, you'd get it, though.
Mm-hmm, I mean. Absolutely. But today we are here talking to you all about another dog breed. And I get to talk this week about the Beauceron.
Beauceron.
Yes, the Beauceron, a French breed.
Beauceron?
Yes, the Beauceron is an old breed that has had many uses throughout its existence. Purely French, the Beauceron is described as a distinct breed used first for herding, bred and selected for their aptitude to herd and guard large flocks of sheep. They're also said to be careful to speak and demanding of respect due to their stern expression.
Well, it looks like a breed purely French, though.
We'll get there. They're not
no outside influence.
We're getting there. They're not timid and are quite loyal and gentle with their owners, though they may seem reserved towards strangers. Showing fear may increase their aloofness or disregard. As for their body height and weight, males are 25.5 to 27.5 inches tall, while females are 24.5 to 26.5 inches tall. They can weigh between 70 to 100 pounds. And if they are outside of their height limits, be it too tall or short, they are disqualified from their breed standard.
Right. Yeah, so they're pretty big.
Definitely. The Beauceron, though, is said to be medium in proportion. None of the dog's body is exaggerated or looks out of place in any way. Females, though, can be slightly longer bodied than the males. So that's just a separate thing.
Okay. I'm looking at a photo of them for the first time now. They look a lot like Dobermans.
Like yes.
Slightly less, I don't know, pointed heads.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. I've seen that comparison before. Beaucerons are powerful and muscular with no clumsiness or bulkiness to them. If one of them does not have physical substance, they can be severely penalized if put into the show ring.
Very harsh, these show rings.
Yes. Well, the
always
dog is sort of like
out.
Known for being a very skilled working dog. So if it doesn't have much substance to it, it would make sense that it would kind of negate its standard.
Oh, yeah. Just always lists of things that, and if this is with the dog, it's completely disqualified. This will reduce many points from their total score. They could be perfect in every other way.
Okay.
They have a little blue spot.
They have a long head that's well-structured. Their face is very stern, but has an overall friendly expression. Their eyes must be dark brown, never lighter than dark hazel. Walleye or cross eyes are permitted in harlequin-colored dogs. Yellow-colored eyes are a disqualification.
See? Who is even thinking of yellow-colored eyes?
Their ears can
throw
be...
throw it out there.
Yeah. It's a little scary to think about, actually. Their ears can be cropped or natural. If left natural, they have short drop ears. Their nose is always black. I'm going to say that again.
So this is just the standard from the AKC, right?
Yes, this is just the standard. The nose is always black, and they have a full set of strong scissor bite white teeth. It says white in the standard, too. They have to have white teeth.
Yellow teeth will be disqualified.
Yes, just like the eyes. Their neck unites with their sturdy upright standing position to impose a look of pride and alertness. Their chest is wide, and its depth reaches the top four elbows. Like four, F-O-R-E.
Not four elbows.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, I emphasized it strangely. Their stomach is moderately drawn up, but still slightly visible. Their back legs give a constant, tireless motion to them. Their tail descends almost between their legs to make a slight J shape and should not be carried over their backs nor ever docked.
Any other letter disqualified.
It can't
must
be,
J.
It can't be an S. It can't be an L.
I was trying to think of what would be similar. Yeah, I guess. S or L.
Can't be a little T
an
or a tail on
it's just
it.
Straight. If you get a Q.
For their coat, Beaucerons have a coarse double coat. Their undercoat is, quote, short, fine, dense, and close to the body. It is mouse gray in color and doesn't show through the outer coat.
It's mouse gray?
Yeah, which I thought was really interesting, but you can't see it unless you're, like, looking into their fur, because their dark, their outer...
Oh, the inner coat is mouse gray.
It's the undercoat. Yeah.
I see, undercoat, yeah.
Yes. The outer coat is about 1.5 inches long and is also quite coarse and dense. The Beauceron used to come in different colors like tawny, which is a yellowish brown or orange brown color, which kind of sounds gross, or all gray or gray and black. However, these three colors are now banned from the standard, probably from health problems caused by the colors. That's my best guess, at least. That's yeah. usually what we see. So now Beaucerons have two color variations. First is black and tan, which we have a photo of here, which is kind of like what you, I think, most commonly see for Beaucerons. At least that's what I've always
seen.
It looks
like a lab Doberman mix, kind of.
It does, but very, very cute.
Yeah, the other photo looks more like Dobermans.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice in the first one. Yeah, the hair is pretty long, though. Mm-hmm. They're not like sleek.
1.5 inches long. And then the second color is Harlequin, which is white base with a blue or black patches that are scattered all over. And I have a puppy, a Beauceron puppy that's Harlequin. It's very cute. Again, all these links are in the description if you're joining us for the first time. Some defining features of the Beauceron. They're very loyal and intelligent, boasting a great memory of terrain. Though they can look stern, they're not angry, but rather observant and somewhat focused. Meeting one with fear will not do you well, as they'll immediately not be fond of you, and aggression is not tolerated by this breed in any way. Rather, being gentle with them will help them warm up to you. Finally, they're one of the more physically active breeds.
Right, yeah, they look like it.
Oh, yeah. And the last bit here about the just like general profile of the Beauceron. This is all courtesy pretty much of the AKC, too. There aren't a lot of books about this breed, so I relied mostly on online resources for this episode.
Oh, yeah. Same with the Schulowitz Quintly.
Yeah, yeah. This is a video of a Beauceron barking.
Ooh. But it's loud.
It is. It's a pretty fierce bark.
Well, I don't hear anything. Sounds pretty... quiet to me. Oh my god. Yeah, pretty serious bark.
Yeah. So it's a pretty, you know, fierce alert bark, I would say.
Yeah, sounds like a German Shepherd, kind of.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the resources on, like, the websites of the, like, the Breed Club website say, oh, they only bark when they need to, but then like people would be like, no, they bark all the time. So I don't know, maybe that's just like a one that's up in the air for us here.
Oh, yeah, constant barking can be caught by a lot of different issues.
That's true.
Some dogs, when they're just bored, don't mm-hmm. have to do something.
Yeah, well, that's the basic description of the Beauceron. So I kind of think this breed is a little fascinating. I really wanted to research it when I saw kind of just like the little bits about it in some of the big anthologies we have, but yeah, that's what comes to us from the AKC and their breed club. So what do you think so far?
Well, it sounds like it's, I don't know, just France's answer to like a big herding dog. It,
pretty much.
Yeah. Well, but they're fun breeds.
They so. Are, yeah. Well, great, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with the quick but pretty definitive history of the Beauceron.
No doubts here.
Hello, listeners. Wesley here to talk to you a little bit about how you can support this show. For each episode of all of our podcasts here at Arcadia, we spend our own money on books, articles, and other materials so that we can bring you podcasts that are thoroughly researched and fact-checked. All of the hosts and producers of these shows also work full-time jobs in addition to the podcast so that we can support this passion we all share. If you'd like to support us at We're Getting a Dog, as well as the other podcasts in the Arcadia Podcast Network, head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/We're Getting a Dog, or our website, WereGettingADog.com/support. For as low as $2 per month, you can get access a day early to every new episode of We're Getting a Dog and other Arcadia Podcast Network shows, such as Coffee's On and Good Food for Bad Friends. And at higher levels, you can get one-of-a-kind swag. Thank you for supporting the Arcadia Podcast Network and for listening to this podcast. Now back to the show. right. And we're back with the history of the Beauceron dog.
All right.
They come to us from France. They have other names, too. They weren't originally known... What?
I've never been there.
Me neither. They weren't originally known as the Beauceron. They were known as the Berger de Beauce, or Beauce Rouge. And they are one of France's oldest and largest breeds of sheepdogs, sometimes referred to as the king of the sheepdog. They were used only for herding sheep before urbanization began in France in the late 19th century. So, they were developed solely in France without any crossing of foreign breeds. So, they are, that's when I said purely French, that's what I meant. They were only ever developed in France.
Like, with French breeds, or just any dog from France?
With French breeds.
Like, what breeds?
Like the Briard. The Briard and the Beauceron are very closely related, and then eventually they separated the two breeds. So, maybe when we do the Briard, we'll learn a little bit more about their history.
I don't really know what that is either.
They're another herding dog.
Yeah.
They're called the Berger de Brie, which will, that's their name in France. Anyway, they were first described in a text dating to 1587, which indicates that they had more than likely existed already for some time.
Yeah, it's pretty far back.
Oh yeah, for sure. During their prime as sheepdogs, it's said that between two skilled Beaucerons, they could herd 200 to 300 sheep over 50 miles of terrain in a typical workday, all while protecting them from predators like wolves and even bears.
Wow. I couldn't do half that many sheep.
Intense. They hit their peak as sheepdogs in the early 1800s, by which time you couldn't pass a flock of sheep in the French countryside without seeing them accompanied by a small pack of sheepdogs, most commonly the Beauceron and its close relative, the Berger de Brie, which is also known as the Briard, which I just talked about. An interesting note is that though these breeds were quite popular in France, they were really only known in France. So they never went out to other countries. Other countries didn't know of them. So they were all over France, but that's the only place you would ever see them.
Is France somehow like isolated?
No, it's just, you know, they had a thriving wool economy at that time. And so they just developed the dogs, but no one really thought to export them. I think they just were always in the countryside. And they were just kept to this job.
I guess France always likes, you know, sort of independent culture in a way.
That's true, too. Yeah. So the Briard and the Beauceron were not considered separate breeds until 1809, when a priest named Abe Rosier, it's spelled R-O-S-I-E-R, and I don't want to say Rosier, I think it's Rosier. Anyway, he wrote an article distinguishing the two dog breeds as such. So as two dog breeds, in other words, yeah. At the first dog show in Paris in 1863, 13 Beaucerons were shown, but the judges felt that the breed did not belong in the show ring, but rather as just a working dog.
Ah.
In 1888, a book by veterinarian Pierre Magnin popularized the name Beauceron for the breed, which was now more used in its original Berger de Beauce, which was its, like, formal name, but Beauceron became its, like, popular name, basically.
Right.
When the Société Centrale Canine, which I hope I'm saying that right, which is basically the French AKC, when they were founded in 1892, a Beauceron named Berger de la Chapelle won the Champion of Beauty Prize, further establishing the breed in urban France.
Champion Beauty Prize?
Champion of Beauty.
Champion of Beauty.
Yes. But this was...
of dogs, humans, all beings.
Of dogs.
The champion.
Taking advantage of
so
the
when
high...
you win Miss Universe.
So, taking advantage of the hype, Pierre Magnin and a man named M. Emmanuel Ball worked together to found the Club des Mille Beaucerons, which is the French Beauceron Club, in 1922. As the production of wool and sheep in France declined during the early 20th century, there was worry that the breeds of sheepdogs would fade into obscurity and possibly extinction. The French Beauceron Club decided to repurpose the breed when wartime came. For both world wars, Beaucerons served as message carriers between Allied troops, mine and bomb sniffers, as well as scent trailers. After World War II, the Beauceron became popular around Europe, especially in places like Holland, Belgium, and Germany.
As like a companion dog?
Yeah, or? Pretty much as like a companion dog, as a hunting dog, or like a trailing dog, basically. Like, they saw that this dog had a lot of skills that, you know, German shepherds had, that other breeds saw. Like,
yeah, large herding dogs are just very intelligent.
Yeah, it's like they could be just as popular, they're just as good at what they do. And they also had the added benefit of, you know, they were basically free roam herding dogs, so they had to know terrain pretty well.
Yeah.
So they had a great memory of places, essentially. So despite all this hype in other countries at this time after the wars, the breed's numbers in France continued to decline. But this was all helped a little bit, as in, like, it helped to increase the profile of the breed by a couple of things. The first was a rebranding of the dog by a famous French author known as Colette. She nicknamed the dog France's Country Gentleman, which really, like, pushed their popularity again. Like, it kind of put them back into, like, a bit of a, like, a 15 minutes of fame moment. And then, in the 1960s, the French Ministry of Agriculture advised the Société Centrale Canine to create a new standard to ensure the Beauceron and other historic sheepdog breeds, like the Briard, would not be modernized by foreign breed crossing. So, they realized that this was a historic breed to France, and they didn't want anything to happen that would, you know, not have it be completely purely French, like it had been for, like, hundreds and hundreds of years. Luckily, the Beauceron adapted well to being a family pet, which helped their popularity in France a lot, basically, to be pets again, instead of just herding dogs. And they also became a popular choice for police dogs in France. So if you go to France, common to see a Beauceron is, like, kind of you would see a German Shepherd be a police dog in America, so to speak.
Right.
So their popularity has gone up a lot since the 1960s when they first re-standardized the breed. Their popularity is now coming over to the United States, so they weren't accepted into the AKC until 2007. So it's kind of recent that they were accepted here. But their great love and obedience has sent them to the number 124 spot of the most registered dog breeds in 2022. Nice. And that's out of 204 breeds. So Beaucerons are definitely, and they're on the rise too, so it is becoming a more popular breed to see here.
Yeah, I figured just they weren't registered until 2007 just because they're pretty rare.
Yeah, they were really isolated to Europe and, like, specific areas of Europe, but still mostly France. But now they're starting to get a bigger profile here. In American culture, they're constantly compared to the German Shepherd as an obedient but mindful protection dog, and are particularly popular with those who live on farms or ranches, since they're used to being in large, open areas, like when they would herd, essentially.
Oh, yeah, of course. And they sound like they'd be good worker dogs in general.
Oh, yeah, for sure, definitely. On another note, the 2022 Beauceron National Specialty Show is this September in Cape Cod.
Ooh, let's go.
That's what I said, too. I was like, we should go. But that is the history of the Beauceron. It's pretty much what I could find on this breed. Mm-hmm. It seemed very straightforward, though, since there was no crossbreeding. They're only related to maybe a couple of other breeds. And now they're only now just starting to kind of come out of France and Europe, basically, in the past maybe 20 years.
Right.
So,
interesting.
Yeah, that's the history of the Beauceron. So I think it was pretty interesting. It's really strange to research a breed where there's not a lot of crossbreeding that happened. I'm so used to researching breeds where it's like, then we did some spitz in, then we threw some terrier in, then we did all this. And
yeah, it's a bunch of different
Powerpuff dogs.
Yeah, like, eras, you know, of a breed.
So having it literally just say, like, it came up in France, it never changed. It's pretty, pretty interesting to read.
Yeah, cool.
Well, we're going to take our second break and we'll be right back with the ownership of the Beauceron.
All right.
And we're back with the ownership of the Beauceron. We're going to start with the training. So though they can be stubborn and independent from a young age, some of the resources for this breed talk about starting their training as early as possible and establishing a bond with them right away. Mm-hmm. Luckily, having active playtime with them and simply showing your love for them by rewarding their triumphs and being fair to them with their mistakes, that will establish that bond. Consistency and routine with training are also very important, but you don't want to fall off the bandwagon with the Beauceron, otherwise they will terrorize your house. So they really do need a lot of active playtime.
Lots of time on the bandwagon.
Oh, yeah. Not too
Most
many
important training tool.
Not too many sources mention the necessity of classes or training for a Beauceron, but it's not recommended for first-time dog owners to have a Beauceron. Much of the research I did indicated that only experienced dog owners who have the patience and an understanding how much activity a working dog needs should get this breed.
And the true appreciation of a French culture.
So it's basically a thing of like, they're really good at learning training. They're very loyal and obedient, but you really have to know how to train a dog or they're not going to put up with you. So, because they're pretty smart on their own.
Yeah, you better know the difference between champagne and sparkling wine.
God.
I'll just be so pretentious about it to you.
If you do have that bond with them and you're really skilled at training, they become naturally eager to please when it comes to training, so they'll want to do their training well. And they can be very stubborn, though, when it comes to testing boundaries. So that's another thing you have to be a kind of stalwart with is, you know, don't let them beg all the time. Don't let them get away with things they shouldn't. They're going to do that. They're going to see where the line is. So, and as always, socialization and basic command and leash training are required for this breed. So, yeah, it's pretty straightforward. But I think it was good that a lot of the resources were like, if you are getting a dog for the first time, maybe this isn't the one for you.
Yeah, that's interesting when it comes up with breeds.
It is.
A lot of bigger dogs, smarter dogs.
Smarter dogs especially, yeah. One website said that this dog is basically like a border collie brain inside of like a Doberman body. Like it's extremely smart, but they're capable of doing a lot of things too. So there are some specific training you can do for Beaucerons. The first is search and rescue. The second that you can put them in herding training. So that's a thing they can still obviously do. Third is police and military use. And one of them is called Schutzhund, which is protection. It just means protection training. I think it's like guard dog training.
Right.
The next one is French ring sport, which is basically like a giant obstacle course. It's really impressive.
Is that like at the circus where they hold the ring up and the dog jumps through?
I think so. Yeah. tracking and then obedience training. So like obedience for show, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then how much exercise does a Beauceron need? Lots. Beaucerons are very active and on average require 2 to 3 hours of exercise per day.
Oh, wow.
Lots. Oh, yeah. They don't have a lot of medical concerns, luckily. They can get hip dysplasia or joint problems. They can have bloat, which if that happens, you need to take them to a vet immediately. They can have heart disease, allergies, or eye problems. But that's pretty much it. They live from 10 to 12 years as well. So not the longest of lifespans, but, you know, pretty decent, I would say.
Yeah, for a larger dog.
Oh, yeah.
Not that bad.
Grooming them is pretty easy. They require brushing a few times a week to remove the dead coat, especially during the shedding season, with a natural bristle brush. Brush their teeth regularly, trim their nails as necessary, clean their ears weekly, and bathe them every 4 to 6 weeks. And that's it.
Doesn't sound too bad.
Not at all for grooming. When it comes to finding a Beauceron, there are links on the Breed Club's website for breeders. They're by region, so you have to kind of scout to see which state is nearest to you when it comes to buying one from a breeder. There are rescue resources on their website as well. Cost for a puppy will run about $1,200 to $1,500, up to $3,000 for a pedigreed Beauceron. So it's nothing out of the realm, in the realm of like craziness, I would say, but still pricey for sure.
Yeah, sounds about average.
Yeah.
Puppy prices.
And for intelligence, they're actually too new of a breed to have been on one of Stanley Coren's lists because those haven't been updated since, I think, 2004.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not ranked. However, a lot of sources say that they have a great memory. They have an insane memory of terrain. And overall, they're thought to be one of the more intelligent breeds, maybe one of the most intelligent dog breeds in the world.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Oh, yeah. They're really interesting just as far as how they manage to just be a working dog for a very specific thing for so long. And they literally, it was just like, again, a group of people and breeders who were like, well, the industry is gone and we need to make sure this breed doesn't go away.
Yeah.
So, and it turns out they make really good house pets. So
interesting. Yeah. Wonder if they'll catch on more.
Definitely. I hope so.
In America.
But that's all I have on the Beauceron or the Berger de Beauce.
Berger de Beauce.
What'd you think? I don't, you know, honestly, I think maybe I would want to have one, but like way, way, way later in life. Like
the way, way, way bigger yard.
maybe like one of the last active dogs we get would be a Beauceron. But at the same time, I don't know.
Be like the most active dog to get.
That's true.
Be the peak active.
Besides like a Border Collie or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think they're really interesting. I just wanted to learn about it type of breed. Not necessarily for the sake of thinking about getting one, but just for the sake of I'd heard about them and I really just wanted to figure out their history.
Yeah. It's interesting how recently they've come to the U.S. and
yeah.
How long of a journey, how old they are, but how recent they are is popular companion dogs.
And one thing I wonder too is they are such an old breed. I wonder if France really didn't like let on about the breed to other countries. I wonder if they were like, this is kind of like our dog. Don't talk about it. Maybe. I don't know. That's a possibility.
Just like they did about the cheese.
But anyway, that's all I have for the Beauceron. So I hope you enjoyed this part of the episode. But now,
dog news.
Here we go. What's the dog news?
Well, it's about a little chihuahua named Toby Keith.
Oh, this has been like national dog news.
Oh, you already know about Toby Keith?
Yeah, you sent me the article.
When did I send you an article?
I'm
really?
I'm pretty sure you did like a week ago.
I didn't send you
somebody
this article.
Somebody sent me an article. I just assume if anyone sends me things about dogs, it's you or Patrick.
Somebody's spoiling the dog news for
it
me.
It must have been my friend Patrick.
Well, courtesy of Newsweek, the world's oldest dog owner reveals secrets of his long life. And this dog is Toby Keith. It's one word. Who is named officially by Guinness World Records on March 16th, 2022, the world's oldest dog. At 21 years and 66 days old.
Wow.
That's very impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. He's owned by Gisella, originally from California, who regularly helps out with local animal shelters and owns Toby Keith and other dogs and in Westtown Beach in Florida.
Are there secrets to a long, healthy life for a dog?
Well, here's what she said about the secrets to the healthy life. Keeping them so happy for so long... the secret was to treat them with respect like they are part of the family.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah, that was the whole gist of the secret. But yeah, it's a very interesting story because she met Toby Keith while volunteering for the animal shelter. And she adopted him when he was 3 months old.
Aww.
She met him with a family that like couldn't keep him anymore.
Sure.
She said, yeah, she was definitely taking him home. Yeah, she's fostered, let's see, I think it said 150 dogs over the years.
Wow. That's a lot. That's crazy.
Yeah, she's homed 15 dogs, fostered 150.
You know, here's the thing. I love the idea of fostering a dog, but I think my personality is such that I can't have a dog and not want to keep it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have that kind of...
Yeah, Gisella said, they come to her house and she takes care of them for 2 or 3 months. She helps them find homes.
That'd be so tough for me. But hey, I'm
glad.
You
know, when you're volunteering for the shelter, it probably makes more sense,
For sure.
There's so many. Got to find homes.
Maybe we could
foster... You take the ones you love most, I guess, like Toby Keith.
Maybe we could foster cats. I don't like cats. Not that I don't like cats. I'm just allergic to cats.
Yeah, keep them constantly in and out. We got to get these cats out of here.
Got a cute cat. Want to take it? Nope. Got it. Nope. God. Anyway.
Yeah, I think it's so cool, that Toby Keith started as... You know, he's going to a shelter and the volunteer is just like, I'm taking this one.
Yeah.
22 years later.
Three months, almost, too. That's crazy. Well, that's amazing. I did hear about Toby Keith, but I'm glad that was this week's dog news. It's a great story.
Yeah, he was 3 pounds, by the way, when he was 3 months old.
Oh, my God. It also shows chihuahuas live forever.
Yeah, that too. I wonder if there's going to be a better record of a Shilwitz Quaintly coming up.
Hey.
It's two name drops. You're going to get one in every episode. But yeah, I mean, if their age range is so big.
What is the max for a Chihuahua? Wasn't it like 22?
The age range was actually lower for Chihuahuas.
Oh, maybe it was like another website or something that said it was that big.
You know, something else interesting in the article about like proving to Guinness that how old your dog is, because so many people claim to have older dogs.
Right.
Gisella was quoted saying, so I went on Guinness World Records website and I read that if you want to break a world record, you have to fill out an application. So I filled out the application. It was a 6-month process. Then they were investigating. I had to provide medical records, vaccine records, pictures throughout the years, and I also had to, since he was going to be the world's oldest living dog, get a newspaper with the date and take a video of him with the newspaper to prove to them he was still alive. That took 6 months.
Wow.
So, yeah. So you get officially the oldest dog. Or I guess any other Guinness World Records, probably pretty... Well, I guess oldest, yeah, is probably one of the more difficult ones.
Yeah.
Because if you're just like breaking watermelons, you just need the official there at the time.
Yeah. And you have to sift through like medical, if you have to sift through medical records too, I mean, that's 20 years of medical records you have to find, essentially.
Yeah. You know about the controversy of the world's oldest woman.
Yes.
It's rumored that she was pretending to be her mother to get her mother's benefits or something.
Wasn't it proven that that was the case?
Probably some way. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, either way, happy oldest dog ever to what's his name again?
Toby Keith.
Toby Keith.
One word.
Right. Toby Keith.
Toby Keith of Florida.
Well, is there anything else you have for this week of this week's episode of We're Getting a Dog?
Oh, you know, a book recommendation of wanting to do. You used to do this.
Oh, yeah. I just haven't been reading lately. I've been so busy.
Well, I just want to recommend How to Be Perfect by Mike Schur.
Oh, I need to read that
book.
Oh, yeah. I want to do the audiobook.
Yeah, I've tried to get into a little bit of introduction to philosophy stuff, but this book was just so awesome. I mean, it's funny and like relates to real life so directly and talks about like recent stuff like the pandemic and relating philosophical ideas to that. Hmm. So cool. And ethics specifically, actually. It's not even just philosophy. It's
well, definitely
all in
have
ethics.
To be on our or on my to read list for sure.
Yeah.
Wow. Everyone, we thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of
Thanks everybody, especially
We're Getting
our patrons.
A Dog. Thank you, patrons. If you want information about our Patreon, it's in the links. We thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe if you haven't done so yet. We will be back next week with another dog breed from Dylan. And Dylan, why don't you take us out?
Remember to help out your local shelters any way you can, whether that's volunteering, donating, fostering, or adopting. And help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
See you next time. Wesley Van Hoosen and Dylan Naylor are not pet professionals. Any advice regarding pet ownership and the responsibilities thereof taken from this program should be checked with your veterinarian. All episodes are researched thoroughly, fact-checked, and additionally researched during post-production. Annotated bibliographies of every episode can be found at weregettingadog.com/bibliographies. This podcast is hosted by Dylan Naylor and Wesley Van Hoosen. If you'd like to reach out or submit a photo of your dog to be featured on our social media, please contact us at wgad@arcadiapodcastnetwork.com or on our Instagram at @weregettingadog. Thank you for listening to We're Getting a Dog from the Arcadia Podcast Network.
When you wake up in the morning and get ready for the day, what's the one thing you're sure you won't miss? Well, according to the National Coffee Association, if you're like 64% of all Americans, you're probably going to have a cup of coffee. Hi, my name is Richard Eisloffel, and I love coffee. I've been drinking it consistently since I was about 15 years old and have worked off and on as a barista for over 4 years. Though I haven't worked in the coffee field for some time now, I've recently took an interest in knowing more about coffee. Its origins, its history, its chemical makeup, how we get different flavor profiles, and its current cultural status. To do this, I turned to my best friend of over 10 years, Wesley Van Hoosen.
Hello there, I'm Wesley.
He is probably the most well-read person I know. Books have always been a part of his life, and I know that, like myself, he has a thirst for knowledge. So I asked him one day, Wesley, do you know any good books on coffee? To which he responded,
No, actually, none that I've ever found.
And I have to say, that took me by surprise. You would think out there, somewhere, is a manuscript detailing everything you need to know about coffee, from how it's made to how it made its way into the fabric of our society. But no, there really isn't. So that's when Wesley and I decided to do it ourselves.
Welcome to Coffee's On, where every episode we'll learn something new about the marvelous beverage that is coffee. In this popcorn-style series, we'll use every episode to do a deep dive into some facet of coffee consumption or production.
And with every episode, we'll be trying a new brew of coffee, so we can continue to open our palates as well as our minds.
In addition, we'll close each episode with a fun fact, myth, or legend about this magical drink.
So tune in during your morning routine, daily commute, or afternoon pick-me-up, and we'll tell you all there is to know about the most consumed beverage in America.
You can listen to Coffee's on Spotify or wherever you stream podcasts. From the Arcadia Podcast Network.